This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you are having an awesome day. As it's wet out there, so please do drive safe. Every day at 6 o'clock, we take a look at what is on 105.3thefan.com. And that's very interesting. But perhaps not as interesting as what has transpired here over the break at 75 and Fitzhugh up here at the 11th floor with the Woolly Bully himself taking life by the horns.
I don't want to tell what's going on if it hadn't.
Hasn't been revealed yet.
If there hadn't been a reveal.
So that is a tease for coming up at 6:40. What has Woolchuck done taking his career and perhaps his life into his own hands?
Yeah, he did something I would have never dreamed doing even today.
No.
As a veteran of the station, I would not dream of doing what the Woolly Bully has done.
That's a pretty ballsy newcomer move right there. It kind of reminds me of, remember The Sopranos when it first started out? Are you a big Sopranos guy, Brian?
I do like him, yes.
And they had the cutback to when Tony was a kid, mm-hmm. and they went up there and they robbed the wise guy's poker game because they were, you know, they wanted to show that they had some balls. You know, hey, right. I'm a big soprano over here. I'm going to stick you up even though I'm a dumb kid. And the mafia resented young Tony Soprano for that, but ultimately they respected him, didn't they?
They sure did.
They had to respect a guy like that.
I don't remember. Sure, it was just okay.
No.
Yeah, it was just okay.
It was just okay at the end. I'll go with you.
Wasn't as good as Saved by the Bell.
The last two seasons were a little bit disappointing, but I felt like up to that point, the first 5-6 seasons of The Sopranos were terrific.
I was locked into the first few seasons.
And it was that's a time of television we'll never get back, where you're talking about what might happen next all week long. You know, I feel like The Game of Thrones was probably the end of it, right? Everything's going to be a big dump. Like, here you go, boom, bam, all of your episodes right there.
I don't know, because I feel like I forget what series it is, but somebody has already stopped doing that because they were like, we just don't get as much hype. We get more hype.
Didn't The Mandalorian do that?
Yeah, The Mandalorian did it.
Yeah, they were randomly dropping new episodes every week or so.
Yeah, where it's like, we don't want you to just be able to watch it all in a night. We want to have your attention and talking about us and all that forever.
Yeah, I tend to be the guy that watches all of them.
Yeah.
It's two or 3 days and then, it's over? And then now you have to wait a year and a half, 2 years? That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's why Brian's ahead of me on scouting right now. I found Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which apparently started in 2013.
Right.
It has 22 episodes per season, maybe 23. It has 6 seasons, and every episode's like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 3 weeks or so, I've watched 22, 44, 66, and now plus 11. About 77 episodes.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I just go home and hit play.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many players are you at now?
70-something.
That's not
almost
bad.
80.
That's not
it
bad.
It is pretty amazing.
That's a lot of screen time, bro.
Yeah. He doesn't think that I'm just going to carry him the whole time. He knows he has to have some interaction with me here.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at what is here on 105.3thefan.com. There is more news on the playoff expansion storyline. Adam Schefter broke that late last hour. They're talking about a 7th playoff team for each conference starting in the 2020 season. Could this start immediately
They're trying.
But there's a little bit more detail on what else would have to be agreed to, right? And added a regular season game, one less preseason game. Do you think the players will agree to that?
My initial thought is no way, because the players right now, most of them don't play much in the preseason. So they're going to say that's not equal, because in the regular season, I'm going to play every snap. And in that preseason game that we're losing, I would have played 0 snaps. And you're adding a playoff game, which is cool, because another team gets in, but you are adding another football game. So what are you going to give me?
Yeah.
If I'm the players, that's what I would look at is, what are you going to give me?
I want a bigger percentage of that added revenue, you know?
They already get 50, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 50-50 on that.
So you're adding revenue, and they're going to get 50% of that.
I would
bargain back to the owners. Give us 55% of that additional revenue, because I'm putting my body on the line one more time. You're just sitting in a suite. It doesn't add anything to you but revenue. For me, it's added risk of injury and these concussions and, you know, all of that. So I don't know how the NFL ownership would react to that, but I don't think this set of criteria right now would be enough to move the players union to be like, yeah, that's great. More games and, you know, an even split. I think they're happy with the total money. They're not thinking, wow, if we could add 5% to this pie, that would be great. They're like, I'm getting plenty of money and we're playing enough football, trust me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, though. What do you think the most important thing is for the players? What do they look at? Is it the commissioner's power? Because, you know, that seems like something that he's randomly just saying.
Yeah.
You know, he's being the judge and jury on punishment here. And, like, you know, they're having to deal with that. Do you think that's a bigger problem for them than or the marijuana? What do you think is the biggest issue?
It's weird because, like, those two issues, should they want them to go away? Yes. But how many players really care? Because 80, 90% of the players are like, listen, I don't have a problem with the drug test. I smoke and I don't have a problem with the drug test. I don't have a problem with the commissioner. I don't get in those spots. Maybe that one is more prevalent than the drug testing and the marijuana stuff. But it'd be a really weird meeting because they'd be like, oh, you guys want us to get rid of those, that one and that one, huh? And I'd be like, yeah, but I don't want to give you anything for it because it's common sense.
Okay, sources familiar with the current proposal say it includes concessions from the owner's side on revenue split, so a little bit higher. Higher minimum salaries, which I think is very important for the rookies. I think the rookies and the veterans should have the same minimum salary, so you're not picking youth over veteran every time. I think this could be really good for the game if they can do that.
Yeah.
Because the veterans bargained for higher minimum salaries than the rookies. They felt like they earned it. What they didn't know is that ownership would just stop signing those veterans. Oh, you want $1 million instead of 600 grand? You're gone. Career over. So veterans want a chance to keep their career alive by taking just the same amount of money as rookies. I think that's important. Improved player benefits? Is that added health care into retirement?
PlayStations in your locker, something like that.
Relaxation of off-season and training camp workout rules.
Oh, we're going to get even less practice.
And a revised drug policy. So the question the players are trying to answer is, are we getting enough from the ownership to add this 17th game? I think that was interesting what you brought up just a minute ago. What are the players getting for this?
Yeah.
And I think they have a really damn good deal other than the commissioner pretending like he's a dictator. What do you really ask for?
I think that's the bigger problem. Yeah. I think they're worried about the power that he has.
Mm-hmm.
The way, you know, and you guys brought up the point about, hey, not all these guys have off the field issues, but what about the ones that do? You know, how does that affect me? You know, I mean, if all of a sudden, in a way, it does affect you, because if one of your teammates gets thrown off because of the commissioner and you start losing games and then you don't get in the playoffs.
Plus it's offensive to have a man with his thumb on you like that. I don't know how much that matters for all players, but it would bother me, you know.
Randy Gregory back.
This guy can essentially decide he doesn't like me, you know. I don't even want the potential of that in my organization. I don't want to even smell it in the halls. Okay, what else is on 105throughthefan.com, though? I posted my two-point plan for optimizing Cowboys quarterback and wide receiver in March. It's, you know, it's funny in my videos when I'm going outside the box and coming up with something crazy, I always talk about, I can't wait to see what Jeff and Broadus or Bassick thinks of it.
And we just go, nah.
And I couldn't convince either of them today, but I'm seeing some good support on the Autoflex Leasing fan text and on Twitter for this bad boy. It's terrific. You know, Case Keenum, it is.
It's a great idea, I gotta tell you.
Some of my finest work, and surely you're smart enough out there in the audience to see the genius, to recognize the brilliance of this proposal. But I do think Case Keenum can be a really good quarterback, and he was in Minnesota, and he actually had good efficiency numbers last year for Washington, just not good enough for them not to go with the rookie in a lost season. I think there are some quarterbacks who are good enough to start, but doesn't make sense for business reasons, you know, Kaepernick being the king of that club. But there are other quarterbacks who have no cool factor and no ability to inspire the fan base. And I think that's what Case Keenum is, because he was a backup and a guy that wasn't drafted high. And you could bring him in. You could bring in Tyrod Taylor and win games. Fan base ain't believing in him. No excitement. Right. So organization, you're not selling any tickets. You're not selling any jerseys. Nobody wants your stuff. You're not that good. So I think NFL teams would rather pay $35 million for a quarterback who's sexy that can win the same amount of games as the quarterback who might make $7 million who isn't sexy. And that's what OverTheCap.com projects Case Keenum's value to be. So, number one, I don't know if I can tag or trade Dak, or I just got to let him walk. But I'm going to be saving so much hot damn money, I don't care. I just saved $30 million there bringing in Case Keenum. And now I'm trading for Stephon Diggs from the Minnesota Vikings at $11 million a year. Now my number one wide receiver, I'm saving $7 or $8 million. So I just saved us another $40 million. Now we're keeping Byron Jones and Robert Quinn. I still have enough money that I could hang on to Amari Cooper just to play slot if I want to with Stephon Diggs and Michael Gallup on the outside. Tell me that doesn't make you the best possible in 2020.
I like Jeff's attitude about if they don't tag one of those young quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston. Those are the guys to me.
Stop trying to get rid of my quarterback.
Well, I'm just trying to. I love the way he's out of the box thinking. I am all for that.
I do too.
I am totally all for that because I think if you sit there and put your head in the sand and say, oh, well, they're going to do this. They're just, you know, and it's the same status quo thing. I don't want that. I want
not
answers. I want answers. I want possibility. But I would do it. I would go after one of those young quarterbacks. If they don't tag Mariota. Yeah, it looks like they're going to.
Those guys are better, right? They have higher upside.
Yeah,
but
see, they're just a few years ago, I had them rated on my board at certain spots.
But Keenum, the year he had in Minnesota, is better than anything either one of them has ever done.
Yeah, but like Case Keenum has always been,
just a guy.
Yes, he has.
And but it was kind of lame.
If you're gonna give me the guy that maybe could have a chance to hit it for inexpensive, but the upside on him is huge. Give me one of those. Give me Marcus Mariota. Give me Jameis Winston.
How much more do you got to pay those guys, you think? Aren't they going to hit around $25 million? I mean, I even saw Tampa thinking about franchising.
I bet Jameis will get over $20
million. You think so?
I think so. I mean, because his big, like he has a really big flaw, which is he keeps making terrible decisions and throwing picks.
Okay.
But he's also a prolific passer with it. So somebody's going to look at Jameis and be like, I can get him to make better decisions. Whereas Mariota's never really had big success.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, but I think he's going to get a big contract too.
Well, he'll probably get tagged. Yeah. Marcus Mariota is the one that's going to be on the street.
Right.
How much do you like Marcus Mariota? Okay, I'm with you on the plan if we're going Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
I'm okay because I will figure it out.
What do we got to go for Mariota? Is it 15? Is it 18? Is it 2 and 30?
I think it would be somewhere between 12 and 15.
That could get a lot of fun. And there's a, you know, guy could make plays with his legs. He can throw the deep ball for you. It's just, I think there's a lot of different guys that when you start looking at what else you could put around him would be better than saying, okay, I have Dak and Amari. Okay, well, you can start saving a lot of money, keep some of your defensive players, and maybe even add a wide receiver to the room if you're willing to get creative at QB.
I'm definitely interested in the simulation.
Nice.
Like, I am curious. If you took a guy who's a league average quarterback or maybe not even quite that, and you said, hey, this is a good receiving core. We're going to block for you well. You've got a good running back. How close could they get to Dak? And I don't know. That's how quarterbacks get all the money because we don't get to know.
I want your fancy EPA numbers and stuff on Keenum's year with the Minnesota Vikings because something tells me the air yards per attempt and stuff. There's definitive ways you can see on the numbers he's not Dak Prescott. I wouldn't suggest that. I would suggest for 20% of the money of Dak, you could get about 80% of the production. Elsewhere at 105throughthefan.com, Odell Beckham Jr. would welcome a trade to the Jets. That's developing this afternoon out of Cleveland.
Oh, Cowboys are better than the Jets. I'll take Odell Beckham, too. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. He's affordable.
There's a video up. Sean and RJ getting ready for Ranger spring training. They are going to be there Monday. We have our first spring training game Saturday right here on The Fan, your home of the Rangers. And you're going to be able to kick back and listen to that play-by-play. And then unbelievable, the Ryan Newman story. I mean, Monday night we were in shock, a surreal moment in sports that it happened again. Then we heard early in the morning Tuesday that, hey, you know, he's alert. He's talking with – but we didn't hear he was mobile. We didn't hear he was out of a hospital bed.
Yeah.
And then today, he's walking out of the damn hospital.
Yeah.
Did he even get a concussion?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Are there broken ribs?
Doesn't look like it at all.
It looks like he went straight to – there's another racer who has
– Martin Truex.
Yeah, it looks like he went straight to the house and played Taboo or something.
Yeah.
Like, what's up, guys? Nice to see you.
He's going to be working as a rodeo clown this weekend or something.
I don't think he'll do that.
No, I don't. He's too big. He couldn't fit in one of them barrels.
I don't think that's the problem either. I think he's okay.
Okay, Cowboys Twitter is coming up. How much faster is the quarterback market growing, and is it the best way to adapt to the trend? What exactly is it? We'll get to the other top tweets that have gone viral. Gil Brandt making incredible controversial headlines across Cowboys Nation as well. All that and more next. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Yeah, let's take a look at Cowboys Twitter. So many people on Cowboys Twitter now reacting to the report from 30 minutes ago that the NFL is getting close to a deal that would add a playoff team for next year and a regular season game. What does this mean? We'll discuss that and give you some of the reactions to it. Segment's brought to you by My Computer Career, and it's brought to you by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. They'll handle all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, Shefty reported under the current CBA proposal, NFL owners are pushing the playoff field would be expanded to 7 teams, the regular season be increased to 17, and the preseason shortened to 3. So for the majority of the starters, it really just adds a regular season game. You'll still have your half a preseason game or whatever most of the teams do. Some teams going no preseason games for their starters, as the Rams did this year. But Clarence Hill retweeted that and said, this helps the league. How does it help the players? And I think it's interesting. Could ownership be so brash in their negotiation that they're going to say, essentially, we're not giving you much besides no weed testing, which only affects like 4 of you.
And they'll give them less off-season workouts. Like they'll do things that, as a player, you're like, sweet, there's less stuff that I have to do. And as a consumer, we'll go, oh, sweet, the product probably goes down a little bit. Like, but offensive really, line play is a problem in the league right now. And I think it's a part of it is there's less pads, there's no two-a-days, are voluntary. Huge. And it's like, it hurts the product a little bit. But I understand if you're in that industry, I could get hurt any day at work.
Yeah.
So I want less of it.
I think the league has got something bigger in mind. I do think
to give to the players?
Yes. I think this thing with the commissioner, I think that's something that's
Article 46.
Yeah. I think that's something that's serious to them.
Article 46, no punishment for pot, less workouts in the offseason for a 17th game. I don't know how, if I'm an average Joe voter in that NFLPA, I'm like, oh, yeah, this totally works for us. You're thinking, what am I getting? I don't cause trouble. I want to practice, and I don't smoke weed.
Or I get nothing.
I smoke all the weed I want, but I just quit for 2 weeks, or I take a product that helps me pass the test. What am I really getting if I never find myself under the thumb of Roger Goodell?
Well, there's players, like you said, that are like that, but how about your teammates that are? Now, that's what I would worry about.
Teammate.
Yeah, being as a front office, a former front office guy, I would always worry about my roster. I would always worry about something happening to, like, I lost this guy because of a suspension, or I lost this. I'm losing Randy Gregory.
Yeah.
I lost Randy Gregory. Why? Why did I lose Randy? Well, because he can't.
It does hurt them. Now you got something. Yeah. I can see that.
That's the problem I have. Mean,
heck, if you're back there trying to cover for 4 seconds and you're like, man, it'd be really awesome if Randy Gregory was there. Maybe I am going, heck yeah, give me that vote.
Yeah,
I'm going to get a couple more pickoffs this year as a result of having, especially, I wish David Irving was possible because I think he's talented enough that you get David Irving and Randy Gregory back and the dynamics would shift considerably.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of things you've kind of developed some guys and you've seen them that work to a point where you're like, man, they could be effective, but now they're gone. And then you're trying to find answers. Well, why are they gone? Well, one of the guys is gone because of this and the other one we're not going to tell you about. That kind of, and so now you're left in the dark about your players.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We're taking a look at Cowboys Twitter here, some of the biggest tweets. How about Jeff Kavanaugh with his daily video here? You talked about Darius Slay to the Cowboys, a pass rusher, name to know for the draft, free agency fits for the Cowboys. Looks like you were quite busy there at Studio Day Heffery today.
That's what I do, Gavin. Yeah. I like to do longer videos. I like to have the 105.3 The Fan website be the finest website in all the land. Get you a little long form on there. And I'm going to start with the draft guy. So I want to ask Brian about this. Cowboys need help rushing the quarterback.
They do.
They got DeMarcus Lawrence, and that's about it. And a name that I don't think I see ever linked to the Cowboys is LSU man, Ke'Lavon Chaisson. And I think he will be a first-round pick. This is a weird year for pass rushers. I'm going to call it a bad year, where there's one great player, and then the rest of them, we're going to pick these guys apart. A.J. Epenesa at Iowa, 280 pounds, strong, great numbers throughout college, really good player. Not a twitched-up, turn-the-corner pass rusher.
Yeah.
Ke'Lavon Chaisson is. That's your twitched-up dude. Maybe undersized for what we think of as Cowboy defensive ends. Doesn't have great production in college, but the traits are there. And if he has a great combine, Do we need to start thinking about that name at 17?
Yeah, I think you do, because what you're looking at is a situation where, and that's right about where I have him on my board. You know, we just went through the top 30. I hope you go back and watch or listen to Trust the Tape as well. We talked about all this, but I've got him ahead of Epenesa, you know, and even though there's a lot of people coming in and saying, oh, Epenesa, he could do this. He could play left in, he could play right in. No, give me the guy that can win right off the first step.
Right.
And Chaisson is a guy that, as the season wore along, when you look to the latter part of the games, when he was having to play against Alabama, when he's having to play against Georgia, when he's having to play against the Clemsons of those people of the world, Oklahoma, he was a much better player. So, yes, I think if you look at his later tape, you could kind of see the traits that you're looking for, Jeff.
Yeah. Will McClay's going to love that, doesn't he? When you can compete against the big schools.
Oh, that's absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
I think that might have been what sold him on Taco.
Taco never had that first step, quick twitch of a player.
But he did have the one good game against Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of others.
Yeah.
That quick step is more important in today's game than ever, because quarterbacks are all getting rid of it under 3 seconds, and a lot of them under 2.5 now.
Right.
So if you're not a quick defensive end, I don't know how much hope there is in the future for getting to double-digit sacks.
Scouts will tell you, though, that if defensive ends are stiff in the ankles, it's just a scouting term, but if they're stiff, if they can't make that first quick step, make the adjust to get back on the court, they're not worth it for you. If you've got defensive ends that you're watching these guys, and all of a sudden you just do not see ankle flex, of that ability to turn it, then you might as well not watch. You might as well turn off the tape.
And Chaisson, to your point, I know he had an ankle injury early in the year. If you go to starting November 30th against Texas A&M,
right,
he has a sack and a half in that game. Then the SEC title game is the next game. He has a sack there. Then the semifinal game, he has 2 sacks there.
Right.
So he got going towards the end of the year. So that's a name that I don't think a lot of people have talked about to the Cowboys that I want to put out there into the universe.
Great stuff.
Well, it's a little bit different than the safeties that we've hearing on all the mock drafts.
Yes, sir, indeed. All right. Did you have something else you
Darius
want to cover
Slay.
There from that tweet?
Yeah. People, because anytime that people start talking about somebody being available for trade, the question becomes, should the Cowboys? And I'll just reiterate over and over, and I'm going to say this until people understand it. Byron Jones is really good at playing corner. Darius Slay's really good, too. Darius Slay is older, and you'd have to trade for him and then pay him. Byron Jones is already yours if you just want to tag him or pay him. So if anybody has a question about a corner where it's like, oh, would you trade for this guy or would you sign
just
this
sign
guy?
Byron.
No, I would sign the one you have. He's as good as anybody on the market, if not better. He's young. He doesn't miss games, and he's already here. So the idea of giving up something for someone else's corner, no. Thank you.
It just goes to show, I think, because Byron Jones is the perfect kind of free agent this team would love to re-sign, how budget conscious they are on defense.
Yeah.
That can't get you re-signed this year, I think, goes a long way.
And it's weird that there's such a large portion, or maybe it's just a vocal portion of the fan base, that's like, I'd rather have a guy who gives up 70% completions and a bunch of touchdowns but gets me 4 picks. Byron doesn't get picks. I just saw somebody put this out, our buddy Mike White at Not to Be Trite. And he put up Jalen Ramsey versus Byron Jones the last 2 years. Byron has been targeted less, allows a lower completion percentage, lower yards per target.
Wow.
He doesn't intercept passes. But if you think that that's not valuable, you're crazy.
It's fine.
He's good. He's very good.
Nobody's going out there and taking away 7 or 8 balls anymore.
No.
It's 3 or 4. Okay. The other thing that is interesting to me, I don't know how this continues to be so popular, is the salary cap doesn't matter, guys. Like, oh, the Cowboys will tell you they can't do something because the salary cap, they're lying. And it's like, how can you be a journalist? You might say, we can sign anybody we want this year, but you have to also include in your message, you're not going to be able to sign anybody for future years. If you pretend like the salary cap doesn't exist and they're just making it up to get rich, then also tell the audience, you are not going to be able to sign any meaningful players, and you're essentially using money from the future to pay players now. So for any 1 year, you can do whatever you want with the salary cap. You absolutely can.
Yeah, you can move money around.
Yeah.
But it doesn't disappear.
Yeah, but
it goes somewhere.
Your decisions this year will impact directly your decisions for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
We go to Joel Corey for a conversation about quarterbacks, a little bit more perspective. Joel Corey, amazing. former agent, now working for CBSSports.com. He's been a tremendous addition to the NFL journalism barn, so to speak, or collection. Because, you know, what he does with his salary cap insights is he studies it and understands it in a way that nobody else in the media does. For all of the reasons, he'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what that guy's contract is going to be. That's what that guy's going to contract going to be. But anyway, he tweeted the evolution of the highest paid player since 2017. Derek Carr at 25 in 2017, then Stafford, then Garoppolo, then Cousins at 28 average, then Matt Ryan at 30 average, Aaron Rodgers at 33.5, followed by Russell Wilson at 35. In 3 years, the quarterback market grew about 40%.
Whew.
If you give it two more years, it could double. By next year, it'll be up at $40 million. The salary cap growing at just under 20%. So, you know, at some point, it's going to be worth it to get a guy that can do close to what you can for a lot less money. And I don't know where that point is in the future where it's going to become the consensus team building deal. You know, MLB swung the pendulum back last offseason. They said, nope, we're calling a timeout. We're not going any further. We would rather have role players than the best player at $35 million. That's what MLB decided a year ago, right?
Collusion, is what that was.
It shook the market.
Sure did.
We're not there yet at quarterback, are we? But maybe when it gets to 40 and 45 and teams are thinking, I got to pay this guy Patrick Mahomes money to keep him, maybe that's where it comes into play 2022 or 2023, something like that.
Yeah, we're not to the point where you're paying bad players,
yeah,
$40 million.
Yeah,
you know, when it comes to it, when you're having to pay a guy $35 million and he's not a good enough player, then that's where I think you'll see the line drawn.
All righty, that's when we're going young. That's where we're going in the draft, like the Boston Red Sox right here. You can have Mookie Betts. We're going young. Team building is so weird these days.
Once you start seeing teams at, where they've got like a Dak Prescott or below and a bunch of them get paid, and all those teams start going 6-10.
Right.
Yeah. People go, wait a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take.
But it's got to happen.
Okay. How about Kayvon Frazier tweeting today some sad news from the entertainment world? An up-and-coming rapper who had just broken out into stardom over the summer named Pop Smoke was shot and killed in a home invasion robbery.
Yes.
So a lot of Cowboys were tweeting about the loss of Pop Smoke today. Man, just started listening to bro, RIP. That was the word from Kayvon Frazier. I don't know if he's going to still be with the Cowboys, but he's still on Cowboys Twitter.
That's
I love
true.
Seeing pictures of him and his new daughter.
For now. I like Kayvon Frazier because he's one of the guys that is always doing something good for the community all the time.
Always.
All the time.
Yeah.
So I pull for Kayvon Frazier. I don't know as a special teamer if that's the kind of guy you're going to bring back, but I like Kayvon Frazier.
Old staff liked him a lot better than maybe the new staff. Yeah. We'll see how that works.
Could he have helped last year if he hadn't got hurt? Would he have been the guy there in the box?
He's one of those guys. You know what, though? There was there's times when you watch him play, he does not look very aware.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Could have helped special teams, maybe.
Special teams, yeah. But he said box player.
Yeah.
Not aware enough.
I gotcha. And then, the Gil Brandt tweet. Jeff talked about this last hour, but worth relaying once again, as he did release his top five quarterbacks in Cowboys history. And I did not know that the Twitter mob could still be so angry and vulgar. He's 85 years old.
Oh, they'll go after you, Gil Brandt. They don't care.
For the love of God, somebody show some respect for Gil Brandt.
The internet doesn't care, Gavin.
No.
I should read the DM that somebody sent me about Gil Brandt.
See, and that's uncalled for. You should not read that.
Yeah, are you DMing me?
A dump button if we tried to retweet that mean tweet or broadcast that mean tweet.
Why don't all you people out there just try to take a day and be sweet to people? Give it a shot. It'll be foreign to you, but try it out.
Start with old people and ladies, you know? If you can't just be nice to them, you got problems.
Yeah. Kids, too.
Yeah, try not to kick your dog or beat your kid today. Yeah. Give that a try. Same.
Okay, we will step aside here. We'll get some messages, and then we'll come back and mix with the nosebleed seats here on the Fan. Oh, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Lucius has a trainee over there in the Pimp Cup, and the young man is doing a trainee.
Trainee.
My man that is training on learning how to run the board.
Hmm.
You're doing a fine job, sir. And you have one of the finest instructors in the land, Lucius Alexander there, producer of the G-Bag Nation. Coming up on 10 years now, come, I believe, November is
getting
when
old,
we
Lucius.
Made the transition.
Lucius. Getting old.
Okay, let's get into these nosebleed seats here. Find out what's coming up with Woolchuck and Chiafalo. Did Schefter jump the gun with his initial tweet 1 hour ago when he said the NFL playoff picture is about to be changed?
Yeah, that might have been. Well, I mean, if they approve the CBA, it is.
Yeah,
that's
you
a
know,
big if, though.
He got it that they're negotiating the CBA and the NFL has given the NFLPA a proposal. But I think he's kind of assuming in this report that the NFLPA is going to agree to add another playoff team. Maybe he has a source telling them that from the negotiations that this is about to happen. It's really interesting, though, that it would come flowing without. Even the thing initially getting agreed to before it goes to a full vote on the membership, I don't know. That seems to be a pretty prophetic from Adam Schefter that this is going to go down like this, especially because the NFL has very little to offer the players other than we'll stop being a dictator. Is that cool with you guys if we treat you like free American adults?
That's a good step.
Yeah, I think
that's a good step.
There's something going on that he might know about the negotiation of what is being offered.
Yeah,
that they will sign this because of this concession, I guess is the word I'm trying to use.
I tell you what, the we've been talking about for a couple of years now how it almost takes a bye to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like it's so hard to do without it, and now there will only be two teams in the entire league with a bye.
Yeah,
are they going to keep going to the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
That one seed is going to be a big, big deal to be the only team with a bye and have your home field advantage. Holy cow.
It is very exciting, though, to get another playoff team in, increasing the opportunity to go on a storybook type of run. That is it's fun, but I still don't, you make a great point about what Schefter must have heard, but if I'm the NFLPA, I'm thinking, no, we're not adding to our health risk. So we can all, 16 games is fine. And what you guys consider concessions, I consider basic human decency. So screw you.
I'd say sorry, you don't have that decency right now. Do you want it or not?
Did I see that the NFL owners, again, I'm not looking at anything in front of me, did the NFL owners get called to an emergency session in New York?
Apparently they're getting together in New York tomorrow. Is what I think I just saw.
Right, tomorrow. So, okay. Moving fast.
Yeah, something, if they're getting ownership together, then they're thinking about, okay, wait a minute, this is what the players have asked us, and this is what we might need to do to get this thing done now.
So, well, the players do have a good deal with the money. So yeah. Maybe they've got it to a spot that if there's going to be less practice time in the off season, that they're like, shoot, we're getting 50%. If they want a 17th game and we take off one preseason game, more of us will get a chance to go participate in the postseason and maybe realize another one of our dreams. Maybe that is just enough to get it done. No threat of a lockout hanging over a season. A stressless existence with this CBA. Maybe that's what they have an appetite for. And that'd be awesome. You know, nothing worse than having the anxiety about, are we going to have a season?
I'll tell you, working for the Dallas Cowboys, there's anxiety if you're an employee.
Really?
Because if there's no football, we have no jobs.
Yikes.
That's anxiety right there.
Serious anxiety. Okay, here they are. The nosebleed seats now. Woolchuck and Chiafalo. Back in its intended and original configuration here for the nosebleed seats. And a good evening to you guys. How you doing?
Good evening, sir. So Schefter has written an article here on ESPN, and in regards to his source, what it said is, quote, that's been agreed on for a long time now, meaning the extended playoff format, and there wasn't a lot of disagreement to that issue, apparently. Okay. So I guess both sides, when it comes to adding a team, that's not something that they feel is a huge issue in terms of their
just adding the playoff game and adding the regular season game.
The 17 game season, from what I've read, the players are not really in on, and they're trying to push that back to the 2022-2023 season.
Okay,
like that wouldn't be so. This would be effective immediately. The extended playoff format. It would be the 2020 season. As far as the 17 game schedule, that still seems to be an issue in terms of the disagreement with the owners and the players.
So it sounds like the players are saying, sure, we can do an extra playoff game,
right,
but the 17th game, we're going to need for you to get more creative with your concessions.
Absolutely. Maybe that's part of the whole compromise in this deal.
All right. Well, sounds like a nice job is being done by all. Do you guys trust the Cowboys front office to get the job done? Give me a Cowboys organizational confidence ranking here as we sit 10 days from free agency essentially beginning, 20 days from a full free agency taking off.
Now, is get the job done like go win the Super Bowl in 2020?
No, just that they're going to make winning moves. They're not going to do things like, you know, maybe drafting Tristan Hill or
right,
paying a running back huge money or stuff like that.
I would say maybe 6 out of 10 right now because they've made some winning moves. The Robert Quinn move stands out. The Lael Collins move, getting ahead of that. I heard Jeff mention the Xavier Woods potential, get the extension in early because you know he's at least a solid player. Maybe he booms and becomes an awesome player and you get him at a great deal. I think they're still in the market for those moves. But on the flip side, they're overpaying for the running back.
Well, they got ahead of Jalen Smith. And we're not happy about that today.
For sure, and sometimes that bites you. And that one's definitely on the Cowboys for sure. But they do make some winning moves. There's no question about it. And when you bring in the new staff, it seems like they're having a good – they're drawing a line in the sand between coaching staff and scouts, at least with the way you see them sending – who they send to the Senior Bowl, who stays back home. So hopefully the Marinellis and those type of guys that are – pound on the table for certain draft picks, Tristan Hill, Taco Charlton. Hopefully that's not happening anymore.
They completely dropped the ball on the quarterback's contract.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that you need to look at right now. And you could be all nice you want about all the other little things that they've done here, but the quarterback is the most important thing to them, and they let that one go. And now it's going to cost them not only potentially, well, they could tag the guy, but it might cost them other players. It could have been a really nice offseason of signing player B, C, and D as well. Now you're in this muck of like, well, we might only get the quarterback done on a tag, and we can't get anything else done because we don't have any money.
That's fair point.
And here's another thing too, that if this CBA gets done, we've talked about the options you have with maybe using both the franchise and the transition tag. That's off the table.
Yeah.
So they need to get this Dak deal done immediately, because if you want to be able to franchise Amari or Byron, your days could be limited on doing that.
Your confidence level of that is real low.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Real low right now, yeah.
I also think, to be fair, they kind of bet against Dak, and Dak bet on himself. And now it will be absolutely butchered if they have to tag him and drag this out into the summer. But last year, if you were thinking, man, we're not quite sure about Dak going into year 4, I don't know, maybe he'll play bad and it'll come down a little bit. They didn't know he was going to go out and have a career year. If they did and they didn't do the deal, then I would say you definitely butchered the hell out of that
they
thing.
They keep telling us that they, we've loved Dak. Right. Every time you listen to Stephen Jones or Jerry Jones talk, it is very positive about that.
Point taken.
I wonder how bad would he have had to play it for the price tag to come down? And how realistic is that it could have happened? What does Dak's year have to look like that you get to the offseason and he and you are both like, you're right.
By the time he got to the New England game, he was looking like an MVP candidate. And you're thinking, my gosh, they're going to pay him $38 million. He's worth it.
All right.
And then it was like, oh, after that, well, who knows?
Well, I guess, you know, we were kind of on that vein today talking about Jason Witten's quotes from last night at his Collegiate Man of the Year, talking about, I want to be on the Cowboys because this team can do something special. Witten's been talking about, it's getting late. I want to be here. We can do something special for like 5 years outside of the 1 year that he retired. Do you share his confidence? Do you share the belief? This is the first time since the 8-8 years, you know, since they went 12-4 in 2014, I've believed this team can do it. But I don't think I'm going to get myself built up as training camp approaches this time around.
There's too many holes right now. Defensively, you can't field a defensive line right now. I mean, you got Dorrance Armstrong and Tank as your starting defensive ends. Are we excited about that? Tristan Hill is your starting defensive tackle. And right now, Tyron Crawford. And you'll see what maybe Tyron Crawford's not on the team come training camp. So there's so many holes right now on this roster to be able to say, yeah, they're really close for me. A year ago this time, sure, I thought that they were in a really good position with where they were. There weren't a ton of holes that seemingly they needed to fill. Now you need corners, you need safeties, you need maybe to revamp your entire defensive line. The linebacking core a year ago today we're feeling really good about with Jalen and Leighton Vander Esch. Can Leighton Vander Esch play this year? We don't know. Jalen didn't look very good. Then what are you going to do with your backup depth at linebacker? And offensively, you seem like you're in pretty good shape, but right now your quarterback's not signed. Yeah. And there's question marks with your top wide receiver.
So the trick's going to be, because I think we agree that they kind of have half a football team right now. The trick's going to be, what if they start 5-1, but we know the defense isn't good? Are you going to start believing then? Are you going to get fired up, and is the ratings and the machine going to be rolling?
Inevitably,
Walchuk's going to be believing by the time training camp gets going.
They start 1-0, I'm in.
No matter how this offseason goes, now they don't have to go 1-0.
I can't help myself.
He's got the blue star flute.
I do.
He's got it, and there's a lot of others just like him.
Guys, Donovan Wilson had a great practice. I think Donovan Wilson has a career
don't
year.
It's going to be fine. Don't let him make that mistake. I'll make that mistake.
I will too.
Might even get four picks in the preseason.
I'm going to just, you
hey,
guys.
He's got his college coach now.
Ball
could
hot.
Be some upside there.
Joe Jackson hit Tyron with the long arm and won on a pass rush rep.
Yeah, feeling
think
good.
Think he's going to have eight sacks.
The
get
light
ready
bulb,
for that from me.
The Tristan Hill light bulb went on. I saw it in practice today, gentlemen.
They just got to draft their balls off. They got to nail this thing.
Yeah.
They got to make shrewd free agent moves and or trades, and they got to draft their balls off.
That's the one thing in free agency, they just haven't been effective the last few years. I mean, what's a good free agent addition?
Well, they've signed their own. They've signed their own, and they traded for Robert Quinn.
Right. No, but the trades are different. Like, they've been a good team in terms of making those small trades, but in terms of free agency, they've made sure they're only looking at the second and third tier guys, and they come in and make absolutely no impact. Kerry Hyder was okay.
Yeah.
But outside of that, George
Iloka,
that's not a splash.
Covington, cares, right?
That plays into why if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not taking the advice of Emmitt Smith. Because I've been cheap for the last how long? And you it wasn't like you guys were going balls to the wall in free agency trying to go make this roster awesome. So what's it going to do if I save you $3 or $4 million a year? What are you going to go do with that every offseason?
Probably nothing.
Probably.
Probably going to screw that up.
Jones
I've been the
is
best
probably
bargain
put
in the
their
NFL.
Pocket, you know?
Oh, they'll just reinvest it back into the yacht.
Or Arkansas.
Fuel for the yacht. Nice job. Fist bump.
Do Arkansas donations go into the salary cap?
I don't know. Here they come, the nosebleed seats, 7 to 11. Thanks, guys, gentlemen. We look forward to the show. Thanks to Gavin Spittle, Tim Collins, Lucius Alexander, Brian Broaddus, Jeff Kavanaugh. Till tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., you're going home with a G-Bag Nation salute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.